Hello, thanks so much for joining us for Market Sense. I'm Heather Hedges with Fidelity. All right, since we last met, we learned consumer inflation continues to improve, but we also saw the credit ratings of 10 banks here in the United States downgraded. So to talk about it all today, I'm excited to welcome back our very own Jurriaan Timmer, our Director of Global Macro here at Fidelity. Also, Ashley Tran is with us once again today. She's a Florida-based vice president and branch leader at Fidelity, and she's going to be talking with us today about inflation and how it is or isn't affecting your ability to have some summer fun. All right, good afternoon to both of you on this summer afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Heather. Happy to be back.
Great to see you. Sorry I missed you guys for a couple of weeks there.
Well, we missed you, Jurriaan, for sure. And just a quick note to our viewers before we get started, I just want to remind everybody, Market Sense is meant to help you make sense of the markets, thus the name, but it's also meant to answer your money questions. So we want to hear from you. So if you're watching us live right now, you can submit your questions for Jurriaan and Ashley below the video. That's regardless of whether you're watching us on our website or on LinkedIn. And we might actually use your question on future Market Sense episodes. And we're actually going to be featuring one of our viewers' questions today. We want this to be a conversation, and you're a big part of that. So we appreciate you weighing in. We do have a fun conversation to get to today. I'm really excited about it. I want to start things off talking about inflation and where it's at and do another check here on it. You know, on Thursday, the latest inflation report came out showing the consumer price index rose less than expected. So that was good news. But then the PPI, which is a different inflation measure, came in hotter than expected right after that. So Jurriaan, I would love to hear from you first about where you think this leaves us and where you think the Fed goes from here now.
No, it's a great question. So the CPI is the consumer price index and the PPI is the producer price index. So the PPI tends to be more commodity sensitive. And of course, oil prices and other commodities have been going up recently. So that's why the PPI is a little hotter right now than the CPI. But you know, the good news is that inflation has come down. It was 9% a year ago in June. It's 3% now. So that is the CPI, the headline CPI. A lot of that, however, is came from declining commodity prices, which of course are an important inflation measure, but also from what we call base effects, right? So we measure inflation as a rate of change from a year ago, right? So as the latest index gets calculated or the rate of change does, you know, you add the latest data and you drop out the data from 12 months ago. And so when inflation skyrockets as it did last year to 9%, and then it starts to come off, it's relatively easy for it to moderate because of that base effect. So now we're reporting for July, and so that is now 13 months after the peak. And so that base effect is pretty much gone. So it's going to be harder to continue to make improvement from here. And also from the perspective of the Fed, you know, the Fed doesn't really look so much at headline inflation just because it is very volatile. It includes, you know, food and energy. So the Fed tends to look at core measures, and its favorite measure is what we call the core PCE. And now even people are talking about the super core PCE that strips out housing costs just because there are very long lag times with housing. You think about signing a lease and then being in that lease for a year, for instance. And the challenge is that these core measures have come down, but they've only come down from about 5% to 4%. And of course, the Fed's target is 2%. So I think the Fed is mostly done raising rates. And I think that's generally the conclusion in the markets. But that doesn't mean they're going to be cutting rates anytime soon, especially considering that inflation, even though it has improved, remains well above the Fed's comfort zone.
Okay. All right. I also want to talk to you quickly about, on a macro level, about the credit downgrade of those 10 U.S. banks. You know, this is a topic we got a lot of viewer questions about last week during our live show. It was happening last week when we were actually recording this show. Jurriaan, is there any concern about the downgrades impacting the chances of a soft landing? And for all of our viewers out there like myself, who still vividly remember 2008 and the Great Recession, give us a little reassurance, if you would, about why it's so different this time around.
Yes, it is. I mean, we are not in another 2008 financial crisis. There have been some issues with the banks. And of course, we heard about them back in March. Actually, this is already almost 6 months ago, you know, Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic, Signature Bank. But, you know, the banking system is in far better shape now than it was during a financial crisis. Banks were over-levered, right? So their balance sheets relative to their capital were enormous. And of course, the financial crisis led to a lot of regulation and in some people's minds, too much regulation, but that's a conversation for another day. But the banks are much more regulated now and their balance sheets are much smaller relative to how much capital they have. So you don't have that leverage issue that we had, you know, back then. And we don't really have the credit problems that we had back then. Remember the housing crisis, you know, too many mortgages being underwritten. So banks are much tighter right now. But ironically, the one thing that the banks were never really tested for this time around in the aftermath of the financial crisis back in 08 was owning too many long-dated bonds and what happens when interest rates rise. And of course, that's what's actually been going on here. The Fed has been raising rates a lot. Bond yields have risen. The 10-year yield has gone from 0.5% in 2020-21 to now over 4%. And that is being felt on banks' balance sheets. And that's, you know, in part what led to the troubles we had back in March with a few selected banks. Now, it is a tale of two banks, right? So you have the smaller regional banks, the community banks. They're feeling this a little bit more than the very large banks, the mega banks. And these downgrades kind of speak to that. But generally speaking, the banks remain in pretty good shape, but they are feeling the consequences of rising interest rates. And of course, that's completely under the control of the Fed. And that's why, you know, all eyes are on a potential ending to the Fed tightening cycle.
All right. Well, we'll find out in September when the Fed meets again what happens. Ashley, I want to bring you in now, though. I would love to hear from you because you talk with customers every day, and inflation and fears of recession typically affect what we call consumer discretionary spending, which is spending on non-essential items, things like taking vacations, you know, all the fun stuff in life, but not the necessities, right? So what are you hearing from your clients right now about what they've been up to this summer? Have they been spending money on trips and experiences?
Yeah, great question, Heather. And you know, I'd argue some people do think that vacation is a necessity. So it's all perspective.
Yes,
there.
That's right.
But what we have been hearing from clients is that they're still very interested in taking advantage of the summer to enjoy vacations and experiences, whether that's traveling or having a staycation at home or an experience like entertainment. So we've definitely seen an increase in folks planning or wanting to take a trip this summer now that most COVID restrictions are fully lifted. And there's been a little bit of help this year from lower gas prices, at least compared to what we had about a year ago. And that has made things like road trips or in some cases airfare at least slightly cheaper. However, that's not true for everyone. So there are some surveys out there that show that not everyone has been embracing summer spending. In fact, about half of Americans said that at the beginning of the summer anyways, that they're still holding back on taking summer vacations due to financial concerns and things that we're hearing in the news. Like you mentioned, with inflations, it can feel a little scary. But another trend that we saw that was really interesting this summer was big concerts, right? Post-pandemic, the big headliner concerts have been back. I think Taylor Swift has arguably been leading that, having the hottest ticket in town with her Eras Tour. And there's been a lot in the news about how her Eras Tour has helped stimulate the economy. And it was projected, I don't know if it just passed, to become the first tour to gross $1 billion in ticket sales. And yes, that's a billion with a B. So some of you might be thinking, well, why do I care? I don't think we have too many 15-year-old Swifties that watch the show.
But no, I don't really think so, yeah.
Yeah, but there really is a big economic impact here. And in fact, the Federal Reserve even came out and said that the Taylor Swift tour is helping boost hotel revenue in particular in cities across the U.S. The Fed's Beige Book, which summarizes how the economy as a whole is doing, mentioned that Philadelphia had particularly been through a slow tourism recovery, but said May was the strongest month for hotel revenue there since the beginning of the pandemic. And in large part of that, it was because of an influx of guests into that city for the Taylor Swift tour. And in addition to Philly, Chicago, Swift's tour stopped there, and that helped set an all-time hotel record. There were more than 44,000 hotel rooms sold each night of her three-night concert there. So we've really seen an influx into the economy due to her.
Yeah, serious stuff. I mean, this really is, you know, macroeconomics. There is a real part of this discussion that fits into what Urien talks about a lot. So, you know, and to your point, I read an article last week in the Wall Street Journal about all of this, about the Taylor Swift impact, called "The Summer Women Flex Their Spending Power." And it talked about, to your point, you know, this is not just limited to hotel rooms that a concert impacts. It also means consumers are spending money on merchandise and clothes for these concerts and all sorts of side expenses. So that's a huge, you know, factor that can't be discounted. And it's not just concerts too, right? Going to the movies is back this summer too, right, Ashley?
Yeah, right. And we had seen a decline in that because of the pandemic and streaming. But the phrase Barbenheimer has recently become a pretty commonly recognized term in our vocabulary. And yes, when I say Barbenheimer, I'm referencing the releases of the big box office pictures of Barbie and the Oppenheimer movie. And if you've seen Barbie or Oppenheimer and you're watching us live, shoot us a line in the comment sections below this line. But Barbie, which I went and saw on opening night alone, raked in $1 billion at the box office, sparking some hopes that a post-pandemic and despite streaming services, going to the movies is back. In fact, Bank of America research report tracked a significant spike in cardholders spending money on entertainment the week that those two movies came out. And overall, Bank of America says its cardholders spent more money on entertainment compared to a year ago than any other category that was tracked.
Do you see either of them, Ashley?
I saw Barbie. Oppenheimer's on the list, so I hope to see that soon.
Me too. They're both on my list. Well, we know that the consumer drives 70% of economic growth. So we're not trying to say that Taylor Swift can single-handedly, you know, be the reason that we avoid a recession, but maybe collectively, when we talk about all of these factors, could that help? Could that be enough, Urien, to execute a soft landing? What do you think about that? And by the way, have you seen either of those movies too, Urien?
I saw Oppenheimer. Barbie is high on the list. I think we're actually going to go see it tonight. And I do have one gripe with Barbie, and that is that I have a long tradition with my partner to wear matching outfits, which are often hot pink.
Yeah.
And so now when we go out to dinner wearing what we've been wearing for years, people are calling us Ken and Barbie. And I'm like, wait, we were way before that movie. So anyway.
Oh, so you are so ahead of the trend. You're so ahead of the curve, Urien. Just be flattered by it. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think that all these factors, you know, could Taylor Swift and Barbenheimer and some of these other, you know, somewhat, you know, fluffy or softer spending items be enough to pull us out of a recession or avoid a recession, I should say?
Well, as you mentioned, 70% of the economy is consumer spending, and the consumers are spending. And what these stats that Ashley mentioned show is that the consumer still has money to spend, right? So inflation has come down. So real wages are actually improving. So that means that people have more money in their pockets. And clearly, I think there maybe is a cultural trend here where people are starting to favor experiences over stuff, which I completely agree with. But ultimately, you know, the soft landing scenario continues to play out, even though we have this kind of, harbinger of doom from the yield curve, which a lot of people are starting to wonder if that still has a signal. But, you know, ultimately, when you get a recession, and I'm not calling for that, but I mean, it's always a risk down the road, maybe in the next year or so. It comes from a few places, right? Either the banks stop lending money because their balance sheets are at risk or what have you. And you mentioned the downgrades earlier, but I don't think that's a systemic problem for the banks yet, at least. And the other reason, the more likely reason, is that companies are laying off people. And then, you know, if people don't have jobs, they're not going to spend money. And we're not seeing that either. So there really are no signs yet, other than at the margin where things are maybe slowing, that the consumer is going to be less able to spend money. Because if you have a job and your wages are keeping track with inflation as they are now, and you don't feel like you have a large risk of getting laid off, then probably you're going to keep spending money. And that's exactly what we're seeing this summer between Taylor Swift and Barbenheimer.
Okay, so it is possible that the summer of spending really is a thing. We coined that term ourselves here at Market Sense, but maybe we'll catch on. We'd also love to hear from our viewers in the comments section right now about whether you've treated yourself to concerts or other experiences this summer, and if so, which ones? And I did ask Urien and Ashley before the show what they've been up to this summer. And Urien, you've been to a concert this summer, actually a couple of the same one, right?
Well, yes, I don't go to Taylor Swift. It's perfectly fine. I like the music, but
I'm not surprised by that, Urien.
My musical tastes tend to lean a little more obscure, let's put it that way. And the Flaming Lips is my favorite band, and they put on an incredible show. Lots of pink, as you can see in the picture there, lots of neon. And I've already seen them twice this year. This was at the King's Theater in Brooklyn on June 8th. I saw them here in Santa Barbara in March, and I actually met the frontman, Wayne Coyne. I met him on the street, and we ended up talking for like an hour. We had a little bit of a bromance going on, but I was on my bike and I saw him, and I was like, Wayne, yeah, like I had to tell him this story about how important his music was at a pivotal time in my life about 10 years ago. And we ended up having this great conversation. And that night in the show, he mentioned the conversation live in the show and then dedicated the next song to me. So it was like,
no. Urien and Timmer? Did he say that on stage?
No, but because I was on my bike, completely head to toe in Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon kit. And so he said, Mr. Bicycle Guy, it was great talking to you today. So anyway, but I'm going to see them again in a few days on Friday in L.A. because I'm picking up my son there who's flying in from Dublin so that we can both go to Burning Man next week. So we're going to see, it'll be a trifecta of Flaming Lips this year.
So yeah, you've gone to Flaming Lips three times. You spent your hard-earned money there. Ashley, I know that you've gone to a concert this summer too, but I'm assuming you didn't get mentioned by name or by, you know, bicycle on stage.
I did not. My story is not as cool as yours, Urien. You were cool before cool was cool. But I did go to DC to go to the Beyonce concert, and that was my first time in DC. So many, we've been talking about discretionary spending. I have not been to Taylor Swift. I am Swifty, but I haven't actually been able to get tickets. The demand for all of these concerts is so high that for concerts like Taylor Swift and Beyonce, the way that you get tickets initially is you're put in this lottery to be able to buy the tickets. And if you're lucky enough to be selected, then you're limited on what city you get to try and get them and what tickets are even available. So my best friend was actually selected for the lottery and got DC. And we said, hey, we are lucky enough to get tickets. We're going to DC. Let's make a weekend trip out of it, explore the city and the monuments at night. We got to see the Capitol, the White House, and the concert, which was phenomenal. And for both Barbie and Beyonce, I went all out buying themed outfits, getting my hair done. So I'm happy to help stimulate the economy and do my part when it comes to that.
Oh, you certainly were stimulating the economy. You flew there, you paid for a hotel room, you had to get your hair done. Like,
oh, yeah. It was packed too. Everyone goes all out.
I bet. And the fact that these concerts are so expensive, you know, it shows you, you know, the demand for them is so high and people are willing to pay whatever, you know, it takes to get a ticket. You know, that's the huge part of this conversation too. I wanted to get to a viewer question though from last week's show. Thanks again to everybody who sent in questions. Just a reminder, you can do that right now as we're talking in the comments section under where you're watching us. Our viewer John wrote into us through LinkedIn and said, he probably right asking Urien or Ashley this, but saying, what is your projection of how inflation of Main Street impacts Wall Street across the second half of this year and next year, given real inflation across food, gas, travel, et cetera? Urien, can you take that? In other words, I think what John is saying is, what does inflation mean for the stock market moving forward now?
Yeah, it's a great question because it highlights a kind of a divergence, if you will, between the inflation that we all see in our daily activity, you know, just trying to get a concert ticket, see how much that costs, right? And so between real life inflation and what the financial markets are predicting inflation will be, right? So if you think about the bond market, you have what we call nominal bonds, the 10-year treasury at 4.2%, for instance, but you also have inflation protected bonds that are priced in real yields. And when you subtract the real yield from the nominal yield in the treasury market, you get what is an implied inflation expectation from Wall Street. And Wall Street has been throughout this whole inflation cycle saying that inflation will come back down to about 2.25%, 2.5%, and it's going to stay there. And, you know, wouldn't that be great if that was actually true? And we don't know that it's not going to be true, but the market is saying inflation is a temporary phenomenon. It's going to come back down. It's going to stay down. And that will allow the Fed to pivot and stop raising rates and then eventually start cutting them. And so, but that is definitely a different, I think, vibe than most of us will see when we go to the grocery store or a concert or on a trip or book a hotel room. And so it's definitely a disconnect. And obviously, I think we can all hope for the markets to be right here. But, you know, that inflation protected bond market has only been around for 2 decades. And those 2 decades have been a period of low and falling inflation. So it is an untested market in that sense. And it's something that I'm sure we'll be talking about, you know, in the coming months, because we don't really know the answer yet.
Yeah, it is a huge disconnect. That's a really good way to put it, Yuri. And that real field temperature that I've talked about before, the sticker shock you're still feeling, but hopefully the market's right, as you said. All right, fun conversation today. I appreciate, by the way, both of you sharing what you've been up to this summer. I'm glad you're having a good one. Speaking of summer excursions, Yuri, and I know you are headed out to Burning Man next week in the Nevada desert. Have a safe trip. For those of you who don't know what Burning Man is, well, you'll have to tune in September when you're in. I know you will be giving us a full report and lowdown of what happened there in the desert. So we're excited for you. Good. All right. To our audience, one last call to reach out with questions. That feature is going to be turned off in a moment. Also want to let you know that Fidelity has a lot of resources for you. So just scan the QR code on your screen, or you can type in the URL there to be taken to Fidelity Viewpoints, where we have a team of financial professionals answering your personal financial and economic questions. You can sign up there to get our free weekly subscription sent straight to your inbox. It is a terrific educational resource. And it is free, which is the best part of it. As always, if you have questions about making a financial plan or staying on track, also keep in mind that Fidelity can help. You can always call us or go online or download Fidelity's app to learn more. I'm Heather Hedges. I hope you are having as great of a summer as we are, and we'll see you back here next week.
Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views expressed are as of the date indicated based on the information available at that time and may change based on market and other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. To the extent any investment information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation, directly or indirectly, in connection with the management, distribution, or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Diversification and/or asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against loss. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stock involves risks, including the loss of principal. Foreign markets can be more volatile than U.S. markets due to increased risk of adverse issuer, political, market, or economic developments, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. These risks are particularly significant for investment investments that focus on a single country or region. In general, the bond market is volatile and fixed income securities carry interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall and vice versa. This effect is usually more pronounced for longer term securities. Fixed income securities also carry inflation risk, liquidity risk, call risk, and credit and default risks for both issuers and counterparties. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. The third parties mentioned herein and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and not legally affiliated. Fidelity Wealth Services provides non-discretionary financial planning and discretionary investment management through one or more portfolio advisory services accounts for a fee. Advisory services offered by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC, FPWA, a registered investment advisor. Discretionary portfolio management services provided by Strategic Advisors LLC, Strategic Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, FBS, and custodial and related services provided by National Financial Services LLC. FPWA, FBS, and NFS are Fidelity Investments companies. Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change, which can materially impact investment results. Fidelity cannot guarantee that the information herein is accurate, complete, or timely. Fidelity makes no warranties with regard to such information or results obtained by its use and disclaims any liability arising out of your use of or any tax position taken in reliance on such information. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. This information is intended to be educational and is not tailored to the investment needs of any specific investor. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.